All right, let's continue. We were up to yesterday. Yesterday, we were learning about the evative ring. Okay, so we learned yesterday, we built the Targum. Targum here says that he's going to be taken to the door. We didn't actually finish all the Rashis. So let's go back into the Rashis. Okay, there's some very long Rashis. We'll just go very quickly to the Rashis. Rashi here says, V'rotza Adonai v'esos b'marzeah. Let's see, where do we get to in the Rashi? Pasuk Vav. Okay, we'll go through the Rashi, we'll hold the Rashi very quickly. It says in Rashi, you'll take the slave to El Elohim until to the Bezdin. Shetzarach Shimalach b'moich. I don't know what the word is. B'mo ki rav shemachruhu loy. You have to go and consult with the people that sold you this slave. Who is the one who sold you the slave? The slave was sold to you by the Bezdin. So therefore, before you go and you do the Maisa Bezdin, before you do the Nirtza, you go and you make a holiness, so you have to go and consult with the Bezdin. Fine. El Hadeles, Ayala Mezuzah, so Yachal Shah, we're going to go very quick because we did this yesterday. Yachal Shah, Mezuzah, Shelly, Yitzhoyalecha, the post will be okay. Tavolema, Venasata, Be'ozna, Vadeles, no. Deles, Velevi Mezuzah, it says in the Devarim. Hamari Tavolema, Ayala Mezuzah, Hikish Deles, Le Mezuzah. Ma mezuzah mu'umad, avdeles mu'umad, whatever that means, okay? That's not so similar. That means it has to be perpendicular. The mezuzah, by definition, means it has to be vertical. So to the door has to be vertical. Okay, it's not called the door unless the door is vertical. All right, fine. Next. Now we come over here to v'rotza adoyna v'esozna v'martzeya hayimanis. Ah, which ear? Which ear does the master make the hole? Is it the right ear or is it the left ear? So it says over here right away, Hayimon is the right ear. Really? Maybe it's the left ear. Tam Loimar, Gzereshov, Oiz Noizen, Gzereshov, Nemekan, Rotsa, Denvers, Osno, Venema, Bemitsoira, Tunuch Oizen, Hayimon. So therefore, something very interesting in the world of Drush, in that there is a relationship between the Nirtza and the Mitsoira. A Mitzorah, why did a Mitzorah get Tzoras? There are many reasons why he got Tzoras. There's a whole long list, but the primary reason, Chazal tell us, is Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara. He spoke Lashon Hara. And by the Mitzorah, you sprinkled the blood and the oil on his ear. Which ear? The right ear. Okay, why there the right ear? I don't know. But we're here, we're linking up the Nirtza to the Mitzorah. There's something that they share in common. What could it possibly be that they share in common? The Nirtza and the Mitzorah. What is it? I'm not sure. Okay, let's go for further. We're trying to focus on, we're trying to help you learn on the Rashi and Unkelus. So let's try to keep to the subject. To the Nirtza. And what's the place over here? It says Hayimonis, Oyinel Small, Tamalema, Oizlez Lugzersha, Venemakan, Rotza Adonis Oznoi, Venema Bemitsoira, Tunuch Ozno Hayimonis, Malahalan Hayimonis, the right Afghan Hayimonis. Now, next question. Umaro Oizen Lehirotza, Nikol Shor Ivarim Shabuguf, famous Chazal, why did Hashem select the ear more than any other limb in the body? Omar Rabbi Yochanan and Zakai. Now, this is a very problematic chazal because the loitignoif in on the Aseres HaDibrois is discussing kidnapping. And the assumption is when this slave is being sold by Bezdin, it's not for kidnapping, it's because he stole money. He did not steal a neshama, because in fact, if he really was guilty of kidnapping, they would kill him. The penalty for kidnapping is Misa. So this is a very big question, which I don't know what it means. I don't know the answer. But over here, he says, V'holach v'gon avihor n'har sinai lo yitignaif. And therefore he went and he stole. Therefore, teiratza, excuse me, har sinai is kidnapping, not lo yitignaif. Okay, we'll leave that for now. V'yeh meicher atzmai. Oh, so remember our discussion, we discussed this yesterday? The whole pasuk is really dealing with the parasha of someone who sold by Bezdin. And Rashi here drops a bombshell. He says, V'meicher atzmi, even though Rashi said before in the other page that we're dealing with Bezdin, but the pasuk can also be understood referring to a person who sells himself. So oizen sheshava al har Sinai, the oizen that heard al har Sinai, you gotta turn away, ki li v'nei yishol avodim, v'holach v'kon ne'odin li'atzmo te'rotza. So in other words, there are two different answers to the question. If he was sold bezdin, why are we boring his ear more so than any other limb of his body? So there are two answers, it depends. First of all, we have to understand why was the slave sold? Who sold him? Either he was sold by bezdin or he was sold by himself. So we have two answers. If he was sold by bezdin, that means he's a ganav. He's a ganav. So the ear heard in Har Sinai, it heard Hashem say loy tignoy for holach v'gonav. That's why that ear has to be bored. If the slave is not guilty of stealing, he sold himself. In other words, if a slave sells himself, it's because he wants to make money. It's not because he stole. He just wants to, it's a good job. And he may sold himself as a slave. So why then the ear, does it become a near to, do we do make a hole in his ear? The answer is, because it says in the Har Sinai, Kili b'yishol avodim, v'holach v'kona adli atzmoi. He went and he's Hashem's servant. He made an adli atzmoi terotza. Okay, so therefore, it's an entirely different reason. Rabbi Shimon ben
You're trading one question for another question, because the other question is very simple. Somebody who sells himself, he cuts his own deal, he doesn't work for 6 years. You make your own deal. And this is talking about for 6 years. The reason it's the category is here now against, as the Rabbanel points out, against Lo Sirtzach. All of this is connected Lo Sirtzach, which is the whole parasha in order of the last five Aseres HaDibros at the beginning. And the category is when somebody is your slave, you're taking away his kavod, and it's like you're stealing a life. So there are a lot of Lo Sirtzach. It's not just taking a gun and shooting somebody. This is a subdivision of murder.
Okay.
That's the way you explain.
Okay. Yeah. Here. You're taking away your life by becoming a slave. You're giving up your freedom, and giving up your freedom in essence is a suicide. It's suicide, and he's doing it on his own. Okay,
especially when it ends up on Modoli Olam. Your whole life is like, what did you accomplish in this world?
Okay. Absolutely. I hear. It's very interesting what you're saying. Okay, well, let's look over here. So if we have over here, just the basic simple language of the Rash over here is that we have over here two different types of slaves. We have an evidently that was sold by Bezin, and evidently that was sold by himself. And Rash is asking the question, why is the Nirtzeh, why do we make a hole in his ear? So, halakhically, in his ear. And Rashi is telling us, well, it depends why he was sold. If he was sold by Bezdin, it's because he heard on Har Sinai, Loi Tignoif, and he violated that law. If he sold himself, so then the assumption is, he's not paying off a debt, he's not paying off Geneva, he just wants to be a slave for fun. So then we're going to make a hole in his ear because he heard Hashem say, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, you're my slaves, and not someone else's slave. And you volunteered to be a slave, therefore your ear should be perforated. Now we come to a new chazal. Rabbi Shimon Hoyadorish Mikrozekimin Choymer. What's a choymer? A pearl. Choymer is a, I don't even know what a pearl. Ratzolaymar Rasha, oh, I didn't realize a prince, I didn't even see this video. Kesher. So when I prepared Rashi, I have a different edition. You didn't have this in that edition. Ratzalaymar Kesher Tsarur Miboisem Shetoilin Bitsavar Litachshit. He calls it a choymer, which means it's a amulet. It sounds like an amulet, but inside the amulet is not someone's writing, but rather there is spices, and they hang it around your neck, and it gets perfume. You put some type of kesher tsarur, a knot that's tied of material, mevusam, that I guess it had that's fragrance. There's some fragrance, even maybe just the cloth itself was soaked in fragrances. Shetolim mitzavah l'tachshit. Okay, that's a very important point because of Rashi over the Chazal saying that he's comparing the vort that he's about to say to a choymer, and he doesn't compare it to a piece of gold to a pearl. There must be some significance in that as well. Now he's not focusing on the ear. He's focusing on the deles and the mezuzah. Nicole, Kelim, Shabbais. They were witnesses. Kisha pasachti al hamashkoif, when I passed over the mashkoif, the lintel yashal mezuzos, v'yamardi, and I said, ki li v'yishal avodim, avodahim v'loy avodim l'avodim, v'holak sevakod adli atzmo, yirotze b'fnehem. The reason why we bore an awl through his ear against the door, because the door was the witness in Egypt, when Hashem said, ki li b'nei yisrael avodim. Okay, we're not going to spend time, you know, we can sit, we can darsh in the Rashi over here, or the Purish, I really have to train myself, we're here to learn unkos. I really want to focus on unkos and Rashi, so we're not going to go and try to spend time analyzing every Rashi, because that's a whole different shir. Va'avadol li'olam. He's a slave forever. Ad hayovel. Really? Maybe when it says lo'olam means forever and ever. If he lives to the ripe old age of 100 years old, he'll be a slave for 100 years. Not just in the max of 50 years. Oy eina el li'olam k'mashmoy. It says in Vayikra, in the same parasha, when this halach is repeated in more detail, he shall return. Magid shechamishem shana kriim oylam. It's not repeated. But there we learn the translation of the word oylam. There it says a man will return the slave. It does say there. It says there that the slave will return. Okay, I'm sorry. It says that the slave will return. It alludes to the return of the slave. Magid. Shechamishim shana kriim l'olam, that 50 years is called forever. V'lo shehei av oivdoi kol chamishim shana, and it's not, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work for 50 years. It means it's going to work for the max of 50 years, which means that if Yovel comes along in a short period of time, if Yovel's in 20 years from now, in 10 years from now, he will go free when Yovel arrives. El oivdoi ara Yovel, bein somuch, bein muflug, that's the maximum sentence. When the Yovel arrives, he goes free. It is interesting how the Torah lets people go free from captivity. We have the people who are in Ori Miklat. How do they go free? They don't go free when Yovel comes. They go free when the Kohen Gadol dies. The Nirtza, when does he go free? He doesn't go free when the Kohen Gadol dies. He goes free when Yovel arrives. Each situation is unique. Okay, there are different situations for different halachas for each unique situation. Okay, so we've gone through over here all the rashis on these two psukim. We spoke about, we go to Bezdin, the delis and the mezuzah. The delis must be vertical, not horizontal. And the delis, you know what it means over here, the delis ala mezuzah. You know, you walk in Avenue J, I don't know if they still have it in too many places anymore. But remember the olden days when there's a cellar door? Some people have it in their backyard, in the basement. There's a cellar door where the door is flat. The door is not horizontal. It's not vertical. The door is horizontal. And when you go into the basement, you got to go to the backyard or wherever, in front of a store. On Coney Island, there are still a few places that have this. And you have to open up those very heavy metal doors that are on the ground to go open, to discover a staircase where you can walk down the steps into the basement. So let's say Besdin is in the basement. Okay, the only real estate Besdin can find to set up shop is in a cellar where the door to the Besdin is to walk down those steps, to walk down, and the door is a horizontal door. So can Bezdin go take him to the front of Bezdin? That's the Delis. And they'll lie him down on the ground, horizontal, and they'll bore his ear. So it says, nope. If the Bezdin has set up shop on Coney Island Avenue, next to the middle of the Lexington Avenue's I&J, and somewhere over there, they still have those things. And the way you go to Bezdin, you have to go down into the basement, and the doors are horizontal doors. That door is not valid for Nirtza. The door has to be a regular door that is vertical, not horizontal. That was the first drasha. Okay, then we discussed the right ear. Why? Gezeira shava, oizen, oizen. Ear to mitzoira. And then we discussed why the ear. And we discussed two different types of avodim. And Evan that was sold by Bezdin, Evan that was sold by himself. Evan that was sold by Bezdin is because of Leit Tignoif. Evan that was sold by himself is because of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim. And then we dash in the Choymer. The Choymer is why the door? Why the door and the mezuzah? They were witnesses in Mitzrayim, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. They shall witness what happens when people, they are the witnesses. So therefore, the witnesses have to participate in executing the sentence. The witnesses, this is an interesting halacha, because we know that when a person is chayev misa, who is the executioner? I think Chazal say that the witnesses, they become the executioners. You know, there's a very big problem. It's very hard to find people in China. They kill people with dime a dozen. That's what they say. I don't know all the details. But once upon a time, I read, or maybe I saw online. I read is that in China, they don't tell you this in America, but in China there's no civil rights, there's no protection, and the government, whenever they want, they just murder people. So they take people off the street who they don't like. They suspect of doing crimes, and they lock them up, and they have a mock trial. And they declare them guilty, and they put them on death row. And they do a lot of this. There are a lot of people they kill every year. Still hate. You don't hear about this in America. They kill them. How do they kill them? Firing squad. They have all different types. So they need people to shoot them. They need people to kill them. And it seems that in China, it's not so easy to find people that want to do this. It's not so easy for the government to find people that have been willing to serve as executioners. It just bothers their conscience to go and be the person to push, to pull the trigger, okay, to turn on the electric chair. Not everyone is interested in being the one to do this. I remember reading about Eichmann, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. They wrote about the person, they once wrote him up, they wrote the person who maybe there was this guard. That was his guard. I remember writing about the person who actually turned on the buttons, pressed the buttons to cremate Eichmann, okay. That was easy. I would do it, but you know, people, this is not so simple. Interestingly, Chazal were very well aware of this problem of finding people to participate in the execution, and the halacha, I think it's the pasuk, the one that does the execution is the witnesses. If you really believe in what you say, you come forward to testify, you're the perfect people to be the one that will carry out the sentence. Look at this. The one that's carrying out the sentence here are the witnesses. The same idea. It is the Delis and it is the Mezuzah. They were present in Mitzrayim. When Hashem said, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, they were the witnesses. Yeratza b'fneihem. They're going to participate in this crime. Okay, now we did yesterday we did the targum yesterday. Let's just finish up anything that we left out. We did the Mezuzah. Okay, we did it already. Okay, Udnei Oznoi. Okay, you're going to make a hole in his ear. Okay, this is just an interesting idea that in Aramaic we have different letters that are exchanged. So just like we have over here, we have over here, Udne, it's Oizen. Oizen is an ear. And when you, in an Aramaic, for some reason, the Dalid and the Zayin are interchanged. I don't know why, but that's how it is. And that's why an Oizen turns into an Oiden. Or the correct form is Udne. Udne is the ear. Now, just thinking out loud with you is that the Adonim, is there some parallel to this week's parsha? Machzis HaShekel? What did the Machzis HaShekel in the Mishkan go for? There were three collections. One was for the Korbanos, and one was a census. To count the number of people in Klal Yisrael, what did they do with those coins? They were used to create the silver sockets for the crushing, the Adonim. Oden is Aleph, Dalid, Nun. Aleph, Dalid, Nun, Aramaic, is a cousin of Lashon HaKodesh. And Lashon HaKodesh is Ozen. Ozen turns into Oden. And we know that ears are very, hearing is a very basic principle in Judaism. We only say twice a day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And perhaps you can say that the foundation of Judaism is that pasuk, Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shemayim. That's the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And what is, how does Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim expressed? Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Mishkan is built upon a foundation. And what is the foundation? The Adonim. What is an Oden? Aleph, Dalid, Nun. What is a Dalid? A Dalid is a cousin, a first cousin with a Zayin. And it's built upon the Ozen, listening. Klal Yisrael, in order for them to create a Mokoim of Hashroas Shechina, the Klal Yisrael, they have to have good ears. They have to be Mekabel, Mekabelim. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, they have to, Har Sinai, we listened. Har Sinai, no one spoke. No one, there was no conversation. Hashem, they listened. Kabbalah is listening. And what do you use, what part of the body is used to listen? The ears. So I want to suggest to you that it's not a coincidence that the Adonim is what, the Adonim, these creatures, these sockets that held up the Mishkan, they play a very vital role in the Mishkan. This is where the Machtes HaShekel went. It's very unique. It is the most basic foundation of the entire structure of everything that, you know, the whole thing, everything in the Mishkan is revolves around the Mishkan, revolves around the that center, the tabernacle, that center which was supported by the Adonim, which is related to the word Ozen. Oden is Ozen, an ear, and an ear is the foundation of Klal Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. So that's what we learned. See, we learned over here, the Rashi and Unkelis, I think we can come out with this little drush. Ha'oiz Zayin Nischalfa Bo'oiz Dalet. We have over here the Udne, the ear of the Eved Ivri. It's his ear is getting is being bored. Why? Because he doesn't want to be an Eved to Hashem. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim is a statement, we are the Avdei Hashem. And when a person doesn't want to do that, he gets a hole in his ear. And what is an ear? In the Udne, in Targum, it's the Udne. Zayin is Chalba is Dal, Kirogel Baramis. Ayin Ramban. Okay, so this is our drush for today. Next, he'll be an Eved Polach. He will be a slave that works. The word polach seems to be redundant. That's what a slave is. Over here, the pasuk says, what is it in the pasuk? The pasuk says here, it says, va'avodoy, he will be his servant. Va'avodoy. So the way Targum translates the word va'avodoy is, he will be vihele eved polach. Why couldn't Josh say avodoy? There's probably one word in Aramaic. What does he break it up into two words? He'll be an eved that polach, that works. What does that mean? A slave does not work. A slave works. What do you mean? What's the word polach? What's going on over here? So let's see what he says over here. Polach. Eved. Got to move over to the other side over here. Oops, what's going on over here? One second. Eved. Oived. Okay, an eved. One second. Enlarge this. An eved, that is an oived. The loit hearing him, it does not say, V'falchine le'olam. Okay, that would be the correct. That's what, if we were writing the Targum, that's what we would do. We would go to Google and we would type in a translation of Va'avodoy in Google, and the Google dictionary would give us the translation for Va'avodoy, his slave, V'falchine le'olam. Ki loshna kosef. Why? B'nei shegilon loshna kosef. The Mishnah Torah. So what's the answer? He's telling us over here. The answer is because the Gemara tells when it says va'avodoy, it does not actually mean that he'll be a servant. He's not explaining what he means over here. It doesn't mean that he'll be a slave. It means he will be eved shaloi. V'derech ze targum bebreishes. I don't know what this Bibracious Hapoalim Egdal. Okay, I don't know what he's saying over here. He's saying over here some very deep idea, but it's exactly the point. Talking over here is telling over here is that in Hanami, this person, this slave, is not really his slave. Because the truth is, you're only a slave to Hashem. Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, you're my slaves. Avodim v'loy avodim l'avodim. This fellow who is selling himself, who sold himself as a slave, and now says, "Ohavti es adoni v'es isha v'es bono lo yitzi chofshi." It's not a real slavery, because it's not a real, because you can't do that. You're already taken. You are already owned by Hashem. You can't really do it. So it's just make believe. You're a slave of Hashem that happens to be serving as a worker in somebody else's home. If you would take the word v'avodah, you would translate it literally, it would have a connotation, or we would assume it means that you are really his slave. But that cannot possibly be. A Jewish person is never the slave of anybody but Hashem. And although you are going through the motions, and to an outsider, to an observer, it appears to be as if that you are, to an observer, it would appear to be as if you are a slave. It's just misofev lachutz. It's just mad. Just appearances, but it's not a real slavery. Okay, that takes care of this. But let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk. Now we go to a new sugya, a new sugya. V'chiyimkar ish es bita la'omo loyseitze kitzei so'avodin. A new sugya. If a man sells his daughter to as a female slave, a maid servant, she does not exit kitzei so'avodim. Now, what does this mean? So Rashi is going to tell us there's something unique with Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani goes out with what? He never goes out, Eved Kenani. The only way an Eved Kenani goes out from the master is if the master knocks out a tooth or an eye. Let's see the Rashi. And the pasuk is coming to teach us that an Oma Hoavriya, if the master hits her and knocks out her tooth or her eye, she does not go free. She remains a slave for the remainder of her term. She only goes out after 6 years, or as we learned yesterday, and that it will positize later on, she will go out if she becomes an adult, if she becomes 12 years old. And I told you, I said I made a mistake. I told you, I said 12 years and 6 months. It's not true. It's 12 years. But she does not go out with Shein V'ayin. So basically, if you would take all the slaves all together, put together. Okay, let's read what's in Rashi. Rashi, lo yiseitze kitzei so'avodim ki yitzias avodim kenanim. And Omo Horvriya does not depart the same way in every Kenani departs, Sheyetzim, which goes out by Shein V'ayin. Avulzulo Seitzim Shein V'ayin. Elo Ivedesh, she works 6 Oyad Hayoivel. Or she works until Yoivel. She works until either it's going to be 6. Wait a minute. It's very interesting and I appreciate this. Elo Ivedesh Sheish, 6 years. Ad Hayoivel, what does that mean? What in the world does this mean? Yovel? You go out with Yovel? There's such a thing that an Eved Ivri goes out with Yovel? I'm not aware of this. And as far as I know, I don't know anything, but as far as I assume, an Eved Ivri works 6 years no matter what. Even if it's Shemitah and even if it's Yovel. Yovel only comes into play if you become a nirtza. If an Eved Ivri says to the master, "Havti es adoni v'es ishti," then an Eved Ivri goes out with Yovel. An Omo Hoavriya cannot be a nirtza. And do you ever hear such a thing like that? An Omo Hoavriya, let's say an Omo Hoavriya is sold when she's 5 years old. Okay, she sold, so therefore she's going to work for 6 years. She'll be 11 years old. After 11 years, she's now 11 years old, she says, "Ahavti es adoni." Is there such a thing that an Omo Hoavriya can become a nirtza? She has one more year to go until she gets simonim. When she gets the simonim, obviously she's going to leave. I'm assuming she's going to leave. I don't know. I really don't know. There's a lot of interesting things I never thought about. I don't know. We have to go figure all these things out. But basically, over here, he's singing. And we appreciate this. But he throws in a kerbal over here. Is that an Amar Riyah? She goes out with. It says over here, Lo Seitzek. Yes, I'm not good. She goes to Meshem Yain. I was Lo Seitzek Meshem Yain. Ella, she works 6 years. Oy ad hayoyvel. Okay, I don't know where Rashi got this. Rashi is saying a tremendous chiddush. An Amar Riyah. If Yovel arrives, she leaves. Does that mean Evid Ivri also he leaves when Yovel arrives? I guess he does. I guess maybe there's a pasuk in Vayikra that says this. Shaftim Isha Lechuzosa, maybe that's what it means in Vayikra. An Evid Ivri and Amar Avriya, if in the middle of their 6 years they encounter Yovel, they go free. Okay, so that's a new way to go out. Oy ad shetavi simonim, that we learned yesterday. If an Amar Avriya, she becomes 12 years old, she goes free. Whatever comes first. Okay, whatever comes first. If 6 years is over, she's out. If Yovel comes, she's out. If she becomes an adult, 12 years old, she's out. Now, when she leaves, the master has to pay her the value of her tooth and eye. If he knocks out the shein v'ayin, he has to go and pay the value, like that's the halacha of how much wood should be worth if it should be sold in the market. The difference between an Amo Havriya that has a tooth and an Amo Havriya that does not have a tooth, he has to pay her that value. He will pay her that money on the day that she leaves. But the removal of the eye and the tooth is not going to trigger her exit like it does regarding an Evet Kenani.
An Evid Ivri works if you sell yourself into slavery, then you go free at Yovel, regardless.
Regardless.
The Yotzah by Yovel, that's what it says, so, like you said.
I guess so, that's what it means. Okay, so that's another, and that goes for, that's the crowd. Yeah, I appreciate that. That is, there's a din of Yovel.
If you sell yourself into slavery.
What about Bezdin sells you?
It makes a point of saying in the Chumash, it makes a point of saying if you sell yourself.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Okay. So at least
after he was wrong, where a Jew sells himself into an unjudic rather than
like. Right. In Vayikra is discussing when you sell yourself. This parasha Rashi says discussing when you sell my best. Okay, fine. Let's go first. So therefore, Ella, therefore, whatever comes first, she goes for the Nosla Dmei Einecha Dmei Eishina. Then he gives her the value of her eye and her tooth. Oy ain is that
Shana. Even if Bezdin sells.
Oh, same because we're makish one to the other. Okay, very excellent. It's a very important principle.
That's a Sephorno.
Okay, it's because we're makish like just like over here the Gemara tells us that it's a din of a niritza. This parasha is a parasha of where Bezdin sells you. And yet we learned over here above on the top that there's a din niritza. You take into Bezdin and they bore the ear, even though Rashi says the only reason why you go to Bezdin is because you have to consult with the people who sold you. And if you're selling yourself, you were not sold by Bezdin, but yet Rashi clearly indicates that there is a din of a nirtza when you sell yourself. So obviously, we compare one to the other. The laws that apply to selling yourself apply to a situation where you're sold by Bezdin. The hukash lahadadim. Okay, fine. Now, so over here we have a situation where a master has an amor avriya, and he gives her, and he beats her. Abuse. Domestic abuse. He punches her. She loses a tooth. If she was an Evet, a Shifra Kenanis, the halacha would be that she goes free. If she's an Omahu Avriya, she does not go free. That itself is very problematic. Because how could there be something in the Torah that a leniency that applies to something that applies to a Goy and does not apply to a Jew? How could that possibly be? Okay, but that's what the halacha is over here. That's what the possibility of Loi Seitzek could say Swabodin. She does not go out with Shein V'ayin. Now, that does not mean that the master doesn't have to pay the damage when she will eventually go free, either because it's Yovel, or because she is an adult, or because the 6 years are up, then the master has to pay the damage he caused her by having her lose a tooth or an eye. That's what it says. Oy ara Yovel, the chol akodim gavim lecheres, and v'nosel demei nenecho avol demei shina, oy eina, maybe, is that the pshat? So Rashi is now challenging himself. No, you know something? Maybe when it says in this pasuk that we just read, She does not go out, period. She does not go out with 6 years and with Yovel. Instead, she stays by the master forever. An Omo Havriya is not like a male. A male goes out with Sheish, but a woman, a female, remains forever. Talmud Lomar, it says in the Pasuk, Yimachal Rochicha Ivriya Ivriya. It says in Parash Vayikra, in Chumash Vayikra, when Makish one, Makish Ivriya Le'ivri, L'chol Yitzi Oysav, they're compared fully one to another. Ma Ivri Yitzi B'Sheish V'Yoyvel. Just like the Ivri goes out with Sheish V'Yoyvel, Af Ivri Yitzi, she goes out with Sheish V'Yoyvel. No, they're compared one to the other. Ma, they're the same halacha. Ma, so what then does the Nidra Yehudah in the Pasuk say? Say Kitzei Tzor Avodim? You have no choice but to say what it means. Le'seitze Kitzei Tzor Avodim, Le'seitze B'Roshe Ivorim Ka'avodim Kenanim. It does not mean a non-Jew, it means like a Jew. She does not go to Shema Yachal or Ivri. Now, what about an Ivri? This pasuk is only discussing a female. What about a male? Yachal or Ivri Yitz Yitze with Rosh Hashanah. Tamulaymar Ho Ivri or Ho Ivriya with Makish Ivri Livriya Ma Ivriya Ena Yitza with Rosh Hashanah. Who Ena Yitza with Rosh Hashanah? Okay. So the bottom line over here is we have Rashi over here telling us a very important principle: is that we compare a male to a female. Whatever law applies to a male automatically applies to a female. Whatever law applies to a female automatically applies to a male. And we come out with a very powerful chiddush. It's a very, very interesting concept that is presented here in the pasuk. There are different ways to leave. There's leaving with sheish. After 6 years, you go free. And then there's a way to leave with, there's a way not to leave. Not to leave. You don't go out with Shein V'ayin. How not to go out is only taught to us regarding an Omo Ho'evriya. The way to go out is only taught to us by a male. Again, so there's a way to go out and there's a way not to go out. The laws of going out are only presented by the male. The way not to go out are only presented by the female. And because the pasuk compares one to the other, with the pasuk of Ivri, Oho Ivriya, we compare one to the other. Whatever law applies by one will apply by the other. So just like the way to go out by a male is with 6 years, likewise a female will also go out with 6 years. And just like by a female, the way by now automatically, if they're going to go, when it says, Le'seitzek, it says, so we can now refer to the pasuk over here to a male, because she's exactly the same, so therefore we have no choice but to interpret these words to refer to a goy. She will not go out the same way a non-Jew goes out with Shein V'ayin. And since that is taught to us by a female, automatically has to refer to a male as well. Okay, that is Rashi. Now let's see what it says in the Targum. V'arei Yizabein Gvar Yos Birate Le'amhu. Yizabein means to sell. If a Gvar, a man, will sell Yos Birate, his daughter, Le'amhu, as a maid servant, Lo Tipoik, she will not depart, Ki Mapkonus, like the departure of Avdayo, of a slave. Okay, the Targum is very vague. He's trying to avoid being trapped. Let's see what it says over here in the Ma'at. Sorry, how he dissects these words. Let me move this to the side on my screen. I have to move things around to make room to see what I'm doing here. Okay, so here it says over here. Wait a minute, no, I forgot. We forgot something very important. Okay, let's just first finish this up over here. Le'amhu, le'amhois, le'avdos oma. Nothing. He doesn't want to say. No comment. No comment. All right, no comment over here. Now I left out something very important. I realized I left something very important. Le'olam. Okay, let's go. Let's do this Targum. I left that in the last pasuk. It says that when V'rotza Adonav es Ozdei b'Marzeh v'Avadol le'olam means he will be a Nirtza and he will serve forever. And Rashi went out of his way to tell us that the translation of the word le'olam means until Yovel. Now he has over here some chidushim over here on the bottom of the page. Let's see. Le'olam. V'yaf to perishu Chazal, even though Chazal explained she'oved rak ad ha'yovel, that a nirtza only serves until yovel, Kvar Kosav Rabbi Avraham bin Ezra, Shel Oilam Perushai Zman. Okay, the word Le'olam really means, it means time. Okay, it means Zman. Okay, what does that mean exactly over here? V'chein kosav Rambam, v'hiskim l'zeh Rambam, sh'amila le'olam ein mashmu'uso kiyum nitzchi, does not mean forever, ela im devuka bo hamila vo'ed. The only time the word le'olam means forever is only when the two words are together, le'olam vo'ed. The word vo'ed modifies the word le'olam, and then le'olam means forever. But if you have the word le'olam without the word vo'ed, it means for a period of time. V'chosef Ramban, sh'amdam ha'kavod k'pshutoy lo'ad. No, he says it means forever. Now let's see. V'yesh b'soyd gadol v'omok. Ooh. V'od yed shlofarish, k'perish ha'gro. והמשך חכמה דהרציה משבת משבדתו לעולם forever ואחר כך בו דין יובל ומפקיע קניינו it takes him out. לכן ברמב"ן שעבד שלא שחרר יובל משתבד לעולם forever. Okay, so let's he's saying over here a lot of very deep things over here in the word לעולם. Rashi he's reading all of this into the Targum. I don't know if he's reading this into all it says in the Targum is le'olam. Okay, the word le'olam is just a translation of the word le'olam. I don't see anything over here where there's a machlokes Rashi and the Targum. Rashi went out of his way to teach us that the word le'olam, maybe we can just analyze this, the word le'olam means until Yovel. Until Yovel, going back to that Rashi, back in the Rashi, Magid, let's see, okay, Magid, look, what here's the word of Rashi, I'm enlarging it, this was Rashi, Shechamishim Shana Kiruyim Olam. According to Rashi, it seems the way what Rashi here says, is in disagreement with the Ramban and other Rishonim. The other Rishonim, some of them at least hold, that the word le'olam means forever and ever. Forever and ever. But in Shulchan Aruch, there is no one that disagrees with the principle that when Yovel comes, an Eved, a Nirtzeh goes free. That's right. But there is still a major, major disagreement between Rashi and other Rishonim. According to Rashi, the sale is a deficient sale. The sale is limited to 50 years. That's it. After 50 years, there's nothing more. It cannot go more than 50 years. According to the Ramban, when the Nirtza, the procedure is done, he is sold forever and ever and ever. That is the nature of a Nirtza. It happens to be that there's the President of the United States can give you a pardon. There's a sentence. The sentence is you're going to be locked up for 100 years. Listen, the President of the United States wants to give you a pardon, so he canceled. But the sentence was forever. According to the Ramban, the sentence was forever. Yovel is acting as a pardon. It's not, the sentence is forever and Yovel is a pardon. According to Rashi, no, there is no pardon. The sentence is lichatchila until Yovel comes. L'may nafkemina, well, I don't really have any good nafkamina, but let's say Bizman Hazeh. Let's talk about Bizman Hazeh. Bizman Hazeh, is there Yovel? There's no Yovel, Bizman Hazeh. There's no Yovel. There is no such thing as Yovel. Bizman Hazeh, we don't count Yovel. We count Shemitah, but we do not count Yovel. In order for there to be Yovel, we have to have a Beis HaMikdash. and the majority of the Jewish people must be living in Eretz Yisrael, so there is no Yovel. So let's say today a person would, you would have a Beis Din, we would reconstruct the Beis Din, which is possible to do according to the Rambam, and the person would sell himself as a slave, and after 6 years he would declare a half the yes, Adonai V'Yasisha Yisbon. It'll be like, you know, big celebration. They'll have this all the newspapers. The FJJ will have all the pictures, color pictures of the person saying a half the yes, Adonai V'Yasisha Yisbonai, Le'etzei Chavshi, and then the Beis Din will take him to the door, and they'll have a ceremony, and they'll bore a hole in his ear, and now they will declare Va'avodoi Li'Olam. When will this slave go free? According to the Ramban, never. Until Mashiach. Until Mashiach comes, re-establishes Yovel, and then 50 years pass, and then he'll go free. According to Rashi, it doesn't seem like that. According to Rashi, take Rashi at face value, Bizman Hazeh, if you theoretically have a situation where a person becomes a Nirtza, he will go free after 50 years. Because Rashi says clearly that Le'olam is, from here we learn, that Le'olam is V'loy she'ovila is magit shechamishim shana, 50 years kiruyim le'olam. It's called olam, 50 years. Now, what I'm saying that might not be so accurate, but at the principle, though, maybe there are other nafkaminas, but the principle definitely appears to be this, there appears to be this machlekes. What does it mean, the word le'olam? That's one element. And then the other element we learned, the other Rishonim that say that the word Lo'olam, by another idea, that's not only relevant to the Targum and Rashi, but just to appreciate what Rashi is saying, the word Lo'olam doesn't mean 50 years. It doesn't mean a day. It doesn't mean 10 years. The word Lo'olam is an abstract concept. It means for a period of time. How do you define that period of time? Well, it depends on the context. So you have to figure out what Le'olam means for a tukufa. Maybe for 20 years, 30 years, maybe it means 100 years, maybe it means a few generations. It's an era. And the word Le'olam has to be defined, molded based on the context. And the other idea he's presenting over here is the word Le'olam, according to some, that if you have the word Le'olam together with the word Vo'ed, then the word Vo'ed transforms the meaning of the word Le'olam into forever and ever. But if it doesn't have the word vo'ed, then it just means for a period of time. Okay, l'chara coined everyone over here, in this context, the word olam clearly means until yovel. Okay, Rabbi, so we're going to stop over here. And in Yiratz Hashem, tomorrow, B'lineda, we're going to learn the Siddur. We're going to continue with the Siddur tomorrow. Have a nice day.
Shkoya, everybody. We have a big audience today.
We have you, we have everyone, Mayor.
Yeah, the whole world could be listening, Donald. You putting it on YouTube?
No, I'm not putting it on YouTube.